I'm Dave Drexler with Inside Art. San Diego Ballet continues its 2023-24 season of storytelling with a rapturous romantic program devoted to love and the human condition. The Many Loves of Don Juan follows the world's most famous Latin lover through his triumphs and tragedies as he journeys the world in his search for fulfillment, all set to the exhilarating sound of the Spanish guitar. This program will be presented Saturday and Sunday, February 24th and 25th at the Conrad in La Jolla. And joining us to preview what promises to be a soulful and sizzling show is longtime San Diego Ballet choreographer and artistic director Javier Velasco. Javier, it's great to have you back on Inside Art.
Thank you for having me.
Well, your choice in Don Juan is absolutely a natural for the season of love in February. What did you want to take with the story? What inspired you to create this ballet around it?
Well, originally there were two things. The first is that my father, who's a native of Mexico, he grew up in Mexico City, has been following like a lot of the theater things that I do over the years. And he always asked me, why doesn't anyone in the United States do Don Juan Tenorio? Evidently, it's like just like we do Nutcracker in the winter all over the United States. Don Juan is done like all over Mexico all the time. And he was just really surprised that it wasn't done at all in the United States. So that was always something that sort of like stuck in my mind. The second thing is that at the time, this piece was created 10, 11 years ago. At the time, we had a very nice male dancer with the company. And normally ballets are centered around women. And because we had this guy who was very charismatic and could do a lot physically as far as, you know, tricks and, you know, that kind of stuff. I call them tricks, but, you know, turns and jumping and that kind of stuff. I thought, you know, I should really create something for him because I really do like to create things for my dancers. I should create something for him where he's not just standing behind the woman and helping her do stuff. So, those two things put together were what made me sort of start this whole journey of trying to create a ballet around the idea of Don Juan.
So Don Juan is a fascinating character, a fictional character that,
yes.
in my little research, dating back to the Seducer of Seville in
yes.
1630. And then, of course, Mozart's Don Giovanni and Lord mm-hmm. Byron with his legendary fictional character poem.
Well, that's it. It's like as I was doing the research, you know, there's the sort of research of the story that you have to sort of figure out, and then the research of the music, which is something else. But as far as the story was concerned, so I started like looking into him. And in most of the literature, when you talk about Don Juan, he is this sort of seducer. He's not a nice guy. He's there's even an incident where, like, on a bet, he tries to seduce a nun. You know, it's like there are things, you know, it's like he's not a nice guy. And at the end of Don Juan, you know, in these things, one of two things happens. He either goes to hell or he almost goes to hell, but the love of a good woman who has died because of him sort of saves him and he ends up going to heaven. So he dies either way. So that was, I could kind of get the structure of that, but it wasn't really that interesting to me. When I finally got to the Lord Byron stuff, it suddenly became more interesting to me because his Don Juan is not the same kind of thing. His Don Juan is just naturally a kind of guy who, this isn't his nature. I mean, it's not that he's thinking of doing this stuff. It's like being mad at when you look at those nature documentaries and you see lions eating antelope or whatever, you know, it's that this is what he is. And even when he tries not to be the Latin lover, that's where society puts him, you know. So in my Don Juan, he's sort of this sort of hapless guy who's sort of going around and all the women just naturally see that in him and go to him. So it's this idea of whether, you know, fighting against nature, fighting against your nature, became a much more kind of interesting concept for me to sort of play with. And it made the character a little more palpable. I know people might have an issue with the idea that someone is just naturally that kind of a thing. But, you know, that was the essence of the Byron poem, you know, fighting against what's naturally inside of you and whether that's a thing that should be done. you know, so that was just more interesting to me.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're kind of poking into the tragedy of charisma, you know, the dark exactly. side of a charismatic figure.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, oh, woe is me. I'm so attractive and desirable. And you know, it's like, so it was just kind of like interesting, you know. So he ends up, so these things happen to him. He ends up going through all these sort of adventures because of what naturally is there, but it doesn't really serve him. So it's like that idea of, you know, taking your life into your own hands. So anyway, it was just a much more interesting way to go for me. And then once I sort of landed on that, I had to come up with the music. So I finally sort of dropped, and music for ballet in the 21st century, when we first did it, it's interesting because, you know, it had to have a classical feel. It had to also have a feel that was something that the audiences recognized. Because I did decide I was going to make a three-act ballet, a long classical ballet. And so if all of the music is unfamiliar to the audience, it becomes a little difficult. So I finally landed on Rodrigo. And so when people come to see the show, they're going to be hearing melodies and tunes that they've heard before. For people who are from a certain age, actually the whole central section is built around the Concerto for Aranjuez, which was, for the people who remember, it was like the flip side of the Herb Alpert Rise album.
in pop music, but this is obviously a
yes,
long loved.
And, you
yes.
know, we get this question a lot of times. You know, people ask me, well, is the music going to be played live? And it's like, I don't think the music could be played live because there is so much guitar playing in this that the guitar player's fingers would probably be worn down to a bloody nub by the time they were done, because it is just so over. So yeah.
Well, you're going to be performing this at the Conrad in La Jolla.
Yes.
And that brings that setting has a lot of positives. And tell us how you adapt this for that particular setting.
Well, the Conrad is it's a lovely space. It has a nice intimate feeling, and it has a very warm feeling. But it is a music hall as opposed to a theater. So anything that you take into that space really needs to feel like it could live in that space, because as opposed to your average theater, which has wings and fly spaces and all that kind of stuff, where you can bring in drops and sets like this, that's not what the Conrad is. The Conrad is a beautiful architectural space, and anything that you put in there needs to really feel like it lives inside of that space. So last year we did Romeo and Juliet there, and it worked really beautifully. I mean, it feels that there's a lot of wood and glass in the space, and the ballet just sort of felt like it sat beautifully on that stage. And that was one of the reasons why we chose to do Don Juan this year, was because it also sort of, that sort of historical era sits there. The other reason we chose to do Don Juan there is we have a wonderful male dancer this year. His name is Marshall Whiteley, who came to us from American Ballet Theater. And it just seemed like the right thing. I mean, for a lot of times when I'm putting seasons together, it's like, what seems right? What feels right? And it felt right for the company as far as personnel was concerned. It felt right for the company as far as what piece to take into that space is concerned. And also, this is being done normally when we do our Valentine show. It's a week later, but for us, we're still in that season of love. So it just all seemed right to show off the venue, to show off the company, and to give... I'm very big on, you know, being the San Diego Ballet, being something that serves our community. So making sure that for people who are looking for something at that time to sort of fill their Valentine's needs, that this is the right thing for that.
Well, you mentioned serving the community, and that's exactly what San Diego Ballet does in so many ways creatively. If we look ahead to the rest of the season after The Many Loves of Don Juan, you have Creative Conversations, a special event with Gilbert Castellanos on March 24th. Tell us a little bit about this event.
Yeah, well, that actually came from being in the community. As the director of the ballet company, a lot of times I'm being asked to either speak at sort of community convocations, or, you know, I'm invited to, you know, these sort of different things where the city is asking about, you know, the status of arts and all of those kind of things. And when I've gone to them, it struck me recently that the discussions that are being had are basically discussions that could be had about in any nonprofit sector. You know, they're valid discussions, they're important discussions. They're discussions like, you know, that are all about inclusiveness and diversity and social media and all that kind of thing. But they're not artistic. You know, we hardly ever, you'll bring all of the arts community together, and we hardly ever have any discussions in artistic terms where we're talking about art artistically, right? You know, it's like, it's, you know, all of these important things that arts companies need to deal with, but we never really discuss art. So that was the idea behind Creative Conversations. It's in a lovely venue. It's a very intimate venue. And it's not just going to be Gilbert, but it's going to be some of the other artists that we work with, talking about the actual creation of the pieces and what's going into it, and maybe the history of the artist or the organization. And it's not just a one-off. It's not just something we're doing this year. Hopefully this is something that we're going to continue doing as we go through the seasons. But just to allow for the community, to allow them to come in and understand the process of what's going on, to be part of that whole thing. So the work that we're doing with Gilbert, Gilbert in the past has done many ballets for us. We've commissioned scores for him for many ballets. And actually, Gilbert is one of our resident composers. And the piece that we're doing with him is actually a rework of a production of Carnival of the Animals that we have, where we had an existing score, but it was to music that was sort of pulled from various sources. So this time around, what we've done is we've commissioned Gilbert to rewrite the score to the existing ballet that we already have. So it's kind of a reverse of what we've done in the past. And he's actually looking forward to it and having a lot of fun with it. For those of you who don't know, Carnival of the Animals has that famous piece in it called The Swan, which a lot of people know as The Dying Swan, but it's just The Swan. So he's going to be able to have a chance to rework that. But so anyway, he'll be there playing, and also he and I will be discussing the process, as well as there are some wonderful visual artists who we'll have there who are doing some work for us in the upcoming season as well. And then we'll also be talking to some of the younger choreographers in the company as far as their processes. And it's a great event. You know, there's food and small libations, and it's a lovely venue in Point Loma, and we hope people can make it.
And more details about that are available on the San Diego Ballet website, sandiegoballet.org. The final show in your season is Giselle, May 4th and 5th at the Balboa Theater.
Yeah, Giselle is also near and dear to my heart. When I started dancing, the very first ballet I ever saw was Giselle. They had a wonderful program at the time called Dance in America on KPBS. And I saw, for those of you who know the names, I saw Mikhail Baryshnikov and Natalia Makarova doing Giselle on TV, which was a wonderful opportunity because I would never have been able to be in New York at the age of 15. But it struck me, and I always felt like, it was unfair, but I always felt like, you know, oh, every male dancer should be like dance like Baryshnikov, and every female dancer should dance like Makarova. But anyway, it's something that was always, I knew it was a ballet that had a connection to me. When we decided to create a production for the San Diego Ballet, I wanted to make sure that, going back to the idea of serving San Diego, it was something that sort of spoke to our community here. So I took it, and like often when you go to the Globe or something like that, you'll see a Shakespeare show and then put it in a different era. So I thought that Giselle actually, which originally takes place, I think in Germany, back like in the 17th century or something, I've moved it to Southern California at like early 1900s, sort of like Zorro time. So because Giselle is the story of peasants and noblemen, it really sort of fit well into this idea of, you know, the Spanish colonization of California with the Mexican peasants. There's also a second act of Giselle is very magical and supernatural. And in the original version, there are these women called Willies who died from broken hearts, and they come back and they get their revenge on men. And that actually went well with Mexican folklore because we have a character in Mexican folklore who's called a Llorona, who also died because her lover did bad things to her. So she comes back. And in both mythologies, those women come back as spectral women in white. So it just sort of worked really well. And I'm really happy with our production of Giselle because you see the first act and it totally makes sense that it's in a Spanish mission with Mexican peasants. So I kind of really love it.
All part of the 2023-24 season of storytelling from San Diego Ballet, which continues on February 24th and 25th at the Conrad in La Jolla with The Many Loves of Don Juan. We've been speaking with its choreographer and the artistic director of San Diego Ballet, Javier Velasco. Javier, great to have you on the program again. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
San Diego Ballet presents The Many Loves of Don Juan, Saturday, February 24th at 7 p.m. and Sunday the 25th at 2 p.m. at the Conrad in La Jolla. You can purchase tickets and learn more at sandiegoballet.org. Inside Art is made possible with support from the members of Jazz 88.3. Replays and extended versions of every Inside Art broadcast are available online at jazz88.org/InsideArt. Again, my thanks to Javier Velasco and Ambrose Akinmusari. For Jazz 88.3, I'm Dave Drexler. Join me again on air and online for another edition of Inside Art.